This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Substances ranging from toothpaste to hallucinogens were tested on prisoners until this practice was outlawed in 1974. Holmesburg Prison in Pennsylvania is one of the many prisons that participated in such medical and product testing. The architect of the Holmesburg testing program was the dermatologist who invented Retin-A, Dr. Albert Kligman. My guest, Dr. Bernard Ackerman, was a student of Dr. Kligman's at the University of Pennsylvania, and in that capacity helped conduct the prison experiments. Dr. Ackerman now directs the Institute for Dermatopathology at Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia. As a student, Dr. Ackerman came to the University of Pennsylvania specifically to study with Dr. Kligman. I asked why.
Well, most people in university life are not highly flavorful. Some are scholars, some are not, but most are pretty ordinary in terms of personality. Dr. Kligman was just the reverse. He was, and still is in some ways, a very vibrant, exciting, excitable, flamboyant, dramatic thinker, had lots of ideas, was spawning ideas all the time. And for a person who was a novice, as I was, this was very appealing. And so that's the reason.
Did you know anything about the prison medical testing when you got to Penn?
Only that Dr. Kligman told me when he knew that I was going to be working with him, that he encouraged me to do that because he had acres of skin and said that there was a prison in which they did their research.
What were you told about the prison research before you actually started working on the project?
Well, I was told by Dr. Kligman that it was a model for what should go on in research because something was being done there that wasn't done anyplace else. Namely, the prisoners were being paid, that many of them, after they were released from prison, got jobs in laboratories or as technicians, that the prisoners loved it, that this was a big distraction for the from the quite terrible routine of prison life. So before I ever stepped foot in that prison, I had a rather glorified notion of what went on at Holmesburg.
So you were working on studying dandruff.
That was my project.
What did that entail? What was the actual research that you used the prisoners for?
Right. We took biopsies by a technique termed a punch. And the punch is about the size of the rubber eraser on the end of a pencil. And if you can imagine taking that rubber out, there is a metal, or there used to be, a metal rim, and that is used as a core in this punch biopsy technique. Anyone first puts in anesthesia, one goes down in the subcutaneous fat, out pops the piece of tissue, then one puts it in formalin, and one has it processed, and then one looks through a microscope at the changes and tries to make assessments about what's going on here, what's the process.
Was this a painful or at all dangerous for the prisoners?
No, this is not painful any more than injection of penicillin or anything else or anesthesia of any kind. Very little anesthesia is put in, and once it's in, it's no longer a painful procedure.
When you started using prisoners as research subjects, did you have any qualms about it?
At the outset, I didn't, because I thought, in the spirit of what Dr. Kligman had told me, that we were doing something very beneficial. That was my initial impression. I've come to see it very differently, but in answer to your question, I had no qualms at the outset.
Well, while you were still comfortable with it, what kind of questions would the prisoners ask you that you were either free or not free to answer?
Well, most of the subjects asked nothing. The person who was assigned to me as the person who was helping me with the things that I was doing was a prisoner. And he was a guy who had passed bad checks, and he was a sociopathic character. And he used to say to me, "Doc, go slower. I want to watch the technique because when I get out of here, I'm going to do this too." So that was the kind of colloquy I would have with a person like that. But for the most part, the prisoners who were the subjects engaged in banter with me. They had some interesting, colorful names, and I had very good rapport with them. But they didn't ask hardly any questions about what was happening.
Were you ever worried about the possible damaging effects of anything that you tested on the prisoners?
Only one material, and that was what was called tritium-labeled thymidine. It was a radioactive material that was used in those days for assessing the turnover time of epithelial cells, and in this instance, the epidermis. And I specifically asked Dr. Klickman about the propriety of it, because I was concerned about it. And he assured me that there was a government agency that had given permission, it was written permission to the university and to him for doing these very studies. That's not verified in Mr. Hornblum's book, but that's what I was told. So that was the only thing that I had any qualm about.
When did you start getting reservations about the ethics of the prison research?
Well, it began clearly one Saturday when my brother, my younger brother, who was then chairman of the Department of Orthodontics at the University of Pennsylvania, came to visit me at the prison at my request. I wanted to show him what I was doing. And he took a very brief look around and asked me, haven't you ever heard of the Nuremberg Code? And I hadn't. And he sent it to me. And at that juncture, I realized that this really might not be all that proper. But in truth, my thinking changed slowly over time. And by the end of my year at the University of Pennsylvania, I realized very well that this was improper and should not be done. But in truth, as time has gone on, it's 33 years since I was a second-year resident at the University of Pennsylvania, I have come to really view it in much clearer perspective, at least from my vantage. And it was improper in every respect. And the University of Pennsylvania shouldn't have been there. Dr. Klickman shouldn't have been there. And I shouldn't have been there.
Have you ever been involved in other research that you felt was ethically questionable?
After my year at the University of Pennsylvania, I never did experimentation of that kind ever again. And my work deals with microscopy. And from the time I went to Harvard on, except for a little clinical exposure there, I've been a histopathologist, a dermatopathologist, and there's been nothing that comes close. But
so you work in the lab most of the time?
I work at a multi-headed microscope, 21 heads, so there are 20 students with me at least all the time, and sometimes many more because we have videos. It's an entirely different circumstance. But the experience at Holmesburg, especially as time went on, was searing, and I think in many ways had a very salutary effect upon me because by virtue of that, I determined that I wanted to lead a professional life of a different kind.
Did you ever take your doubts, once you had ethical concerns, to Dr. Klickman and talk them over?
Well, you know, that's a perfectly reasonable question, and the answer is no. And the reason is that Dr. Klickman was not a person who one could have colloquy with in a very easy way. He was very opinionated and could also be very aggressive and could behave in a way that was extraordinarily unpleasant. And if one raised this kind of issue with him, his response could either be something like, what are you, some kind of Boy Scout, or be very aggressive. And so there was really no point in doing that.
Dr. Klickman is for the most part not speaking to the press about the subject, but he did make this statement. He said, my use of paid prisoners as research subjects in the 50s and 60s was in keeping with this nation's standard protocol for conducting scientific investigations at that time. To the best of my knowledge, the result of those experiments advanced our knowledge of the pathogenesis of skin disease, and no long-term harm was done to any person who voluntarily participated in the research program. What are your thoughts about that statement?
Well,
Let's start with the standard research protocols of the time.
Well, I think that when the prison work began under the auspices of the University of Pennsylvania and Dr. Klickman, it was in the early 1950s, and that was shortly after the Nuremberg Code had been set forth. So there was a standard. And that was the standard, and it really was the standard for research after that. So I don't think it's accurate to say that that was not the standard in the United States. It was a universal standard.
What did the Nuremberg Code say that is relevant to the research you were doing?
Well, the Nuremberg Code makes it utterly clear that prisoners are not to be used as research subjects. It could not be more clear.
Even if it's voluntarily and they're getting paid for it?
Under no circumstance. Because, first of all, they're really not volunteers in a sense. They're in prison, and once you're in prison, you're not a volunteer. Secondly, there's an emphasis on informed consent. And there was no informed consent at Holmesburg. The prisoners hadn't the slightest idea what was going on in the research, and no attempt was made to instruct them. So if the Nuremberg Code was the standard, and in my estimation it was and should have been, and certainly in a university, then this was a violation of that code.
When you were involved in the prison research, you were at the University of Pennsylvania. Do you think that the University of Pennsylvania was exceptional in its participation in this research, or do you think that was basically the standard at the time?
It surely wasn't the standard, and this is not to say that no other university did it, but there were very few. I mean, this was not the rule. And I think that the University of Pennsylvania was derelict in its duty then, because it was the beneficiary, certainly the medical school, the Department of Dermatology, of monies that were made at Holmesburg. Now, I would guess that the vast majority of those monies went to Dr. Kligman, but certainly a percentage of it went to the Department of Dermatology. Well, that department had a responsibility. And I think that that's a shame for the University of Pennsylvania, because the University of Pennsylvania is a great university. And it seems to me that this is the kind of thing, this issue of Holmesburg Prison, that should be part and parcel of a teaching program. Medical students should learn about this. Residents in dermatology especially, but residents of all kinds. This is the kind of thing that should be debated and discussed. This is what universities are for. This is what universities are about. And my concern is that too few of my colleagues in dermatology see anything wrong with what happened at Holmesburg. That's what has to be changed, that they have to understand that it was wrong and it had no place in a civilized society, and it is contrary to the Hippocratic Oath and to the Nuremberg Code.
Dr. Ackerman, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Bernard Ackerman directs the Institute for Dermatopathology at Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia.